So, day one was, as you've described it here, a hookup bonanza, correct?
Yes, sir.
I can certainly see how that would happen.
Dean Blaine turned the page in the packet of documents he was holding.
Now, the forest fire on the second day will require a bit more explanation.
Ben squirmed around in his chair. The dean's office was plush and comfortable, but having to answer for the actions of a class of drunken supers was worse than sitting on a bed of needles.
It's really quite simple, sir. Some of the students decided to make a campfire at the end of the day, but Angela and I were still collecting the tubes, and we had the matches, so one of the students chose to do the job himself.
Dean Blaine cocked an eyebrow.
Would that have been Mr. Reynolds?
No, sir. He actually helped us control it before it got out of hand. The kid who started the fire was Alan Wells.
Oh, yes. The young man who can throw explosive balls of energy.
Yeah, the idiot figured his power would be enough to burn some wood. And he was right.
Indeed he was. The Park Service is not too happy with me about the damage left behind.
In our defense, we did manage to contain it very quickly.
You did. I'll give you that. Though you were somewhat slower at dealing with the glacier that now occupies part of the river.
This was not the way Ben wanted to spend his first afternoon back from vacation. Nick sat on the couch in the common room, watching television and applying lotion to the side of his nose. He'd miscalculated the necessary SPF to defend himself all weekend and was now paying the price. Alice walked over from the girl's side, wearing a tank top, flip-flops, and shorts.
Son got you too, huh?
Like I owed him money.
Alice sat down next to him and pulled out her own bottle of lotion. One that was, no doubt, more expensive and more effective.
Where is everyone? We've had all morning to rest up. I figured they'd have swung back to life by now.
They have. Vince left with Sasha a few hours ago. And Mary came in a little after lunch, so she and Herschel are catching up and being all couple-like.
Well, they are sort of a couple.
That's what I said.
Hey, you mind getting the back of my shoulders?
Nick hesitated for a moment.
Okay.
Alice realigned her position on the couch so that her back was facing Nick, then handed him her lotion. She slid the straps of her tank top down to the sides of her arms and pulled her long blonde hair around in front, revealing the bare upper half of her back. Nick shifted his body to face her.
So when are you gonna see Bubbles again?
Nick's hands worked the soothing cream into her skin.
Probably in a couple of days. I've got stuff to do.
What kind of stuff? We didn't have any homework over the break.
You know, just stuff.
Nick was having trouble conjuring up his usual silver tongue, mostly because he was focusing on keeping his physical tells under control. Ever since their kiss in the woods, he couldn't deny that he was attracted to Alice.
Okay. You know, Nick, there's something I wanted to say about the river trip.
A lesser man would have let his hands stiffen in fear of what was coming next, but Nick's fingers didn't pause or hesitate as they skillfully concealed his emotions.
What's that?
I was pretty drunk, and I don't remember if I did, but thanks for coming after me. I just wanted to make sure you knew.
Nick relaxed a bit internally and got back to the task at hand.
So, she doesn't remember things too clearly. That makes things easier.
Had Nick been sitting a few inches to the left, he would have been able to see Alice's face in the mirror that hung on the wall, and he would have noticed the wry, cunning smile on her face. Jill was sitting in the common room of her and Sasha's dorm room, reading a magazine. She flipped casually through each page, her ears working hard to ignore the sounds seeping through the walls around her.
10 surefire ways to make your thighs thick.
For a second, she thought she had obtained a zen level of focus, because the sounds ceased.
Huh.
This theory was disproven a moment later when Sasha emerged from her room in a pink robe.
Hey!
She made a beeline for the fridge.
Hey!
Jill turned another page. Sasha reached the fridge, opened it, and grabbed 2 bottles of water. She stood at the door for a moment longer, staring into its depths. Then, she reached back in and grabbed 2 more bottles, balancing them carefully as she made her way back into her room and firmly shut the door. Jill would get maybe 10 or 15 minutes before the noises would start again. Or not.
All things totaled, approximately $5,000 worth of damage was caused by the students under your watch. They destroyed a small patch of national forest and caused ecological damage to no less than 9 different species' habitats.
Yes, sir.
Looks like it.
Well then, good job, you two.
Dean Blaine set the packet of papers down on his desk.
Beg your pardon?
That's one of the least destructive river trips in the last decade. You did your jobs very well. You have my thanks.
Sweet.
Angela hopped up from her seat.
We done here?
Yes, Mr. Soto, you are free to go.
Cool. Come on, Ben. Let's go grab lunch.
Angela tugged on her fellow chaperone's arm.
Okay, I guess.
Ben got out of the chair and allowed himself to be pulled from the room. Dean Blaine turned his attention back to the paperwork required for cleanup. Even with such minimal damage, there were still a lot of forms to file and sign. He wondered how many documents had to be filled out by the dean after his class went on the river trip. He couldn't be certain, but he suspected it was enough that he would have quit, or set the entire building on fire had such a pile been presented to him.
You all look nice and rested.
Coach George stood in front of the line of students in his combat class.
That's good. I'm glad you all got time to heal up and re-energize, because we have now entered the last mile of your freshman year. And does anyone remember what happens at the end of your freshman year?
There was no response. He long ago drilled out the habit of speaking without being called on.
That's right. At the end of the year, we have ourselves another set of matches. But you won't just be fighting this time. This time we will test every aspect a hero needs to bring to the table. Strength, intelligence, cunning, resourcefulness, and yes, battle skills. So keep those memories of your time off tucked away in a nice safe spot in your mind. You'll need them to keep you sane every night when you crawl into bed with your bones creaking and your spirit crumbling. These next 2 months will be hell, and I'm going to be personally applying the pitchfork. You see, this is my last chance to get you all strong enough to actually survive the second year's training, and I take that responsibility very seriously. Any questions?
Not one person even dared to entertain a thought about ascending.
Glad to hear it. Pair up as I call your names and get into your fighting circles. Oh, and we're changing something up today.
The students looked at him with a mix of excitement and fear. Coach George gave them a smile.
Today, my little charges, you may begin using your powers.
As you all know by now, not every member of this class will make it into the sophomore program.
Coach Persephone stood in front of her students in a nearly identical fashion to her male counterpart.
Now, while George likes to use his time dulling the nerves of his students, I prefer to sharpen the minds of mine.
Curiosity danced in the eyes of the supers lined up in front of her. This was good. Curiosity meant listening, and listening meant thinking. Thinking was what would make the difference between success and failure for her students.
Some of the tests you'll endure will be combat-based. I won't sugarcoat it. With few exceptions, most of you will come out the loser in these encounters.
Several faces turned toward the floor.
However, this is an acceptable loss, because it does not make up all of what you will be evaluated on. Think of it as giving away a pawn in order to take their king. They will hone their bodies and battle skills over the coming months. We will be honing our minds. Your minds will ache with effort, and you will tear out your hair in frustration, but you will improve. And at the end of May, when you go into your trials, you will emerge victorious.
Dean Blaine and 4 other figures stood in a small room lined with television screens. Normally, these screens would show a variety of rooms with different teams from different classes on each one. Today, however, they showed different angles of the 2 rooms where the freshman class was being addressed. The smallest of the 4 figures stepped forward.
Interesting crop.
That's what you say every year.
It's true every year.
Dean Blaine had no rebuttal to this. He never did. So instead, he moved on to the task at hand.
You've seen their files, you've watched the tapes, and you know their names. Today, we divvy them up, and you have 1.5 months to devise their test, then 0.5 month to get it all set up.
George and Persephone already made their picks?
This time, the voice came from the tallest of the group.
Turned them into me before spring break.
The 3rd spoke up.
Such a prompt pair.
Would that I could see such efficiency from the rest of you.
Let's be fair. You don't keep us around because we adhere well to the red tape.
No, but I still expect you to take this seriously. You have the room for the next 2 hours. Make your selections and have them on my desk by the end of the day.
Dean Blaine walked briskly out the door before any other comments could be made.
Now then.
The fourth figure stepped forward.
I think it's time to get down to business.
Shit!
Coach George dove for cover. The errant bolt of electricity sizzled by his head, narrowly missing him, before splintering into two and hitting the concrete wall a few feet behind him.
Sorry.
No harm done. Refuel and try again.
Vince and Coach George were having a one-on-one training session on ranged attacks. They were in a room with exceptional insulation and no electrical conduits or metal. Coach George hadn't been exaggerating about the variety of resources at Lander. They really did have a room for nearly every conceivable power.
Yes, sir.
Vince jogged back over to the car battery at the edge of the room. In the weeks they'd been training, he hadn't been having much luck. So, now they were trying a new tactic. Instead of draining the entire battery at once, Vince absorbed only a little bit of electricity at a time. This had two benefits, in that it allowed a single battery to fuel him for a long training session, and it kept the damage from his poorly aimed blasts minimal.
Let's decrease the distance again.
Vince finished and approached a small pile of concrete on the ground. So far, they'd tried breathing techniques, aiming techniques, and even rubber gloves with the fingers cut out.
Ugh.
None of it had kept the electricity from splintering. Now they were testing to see if there was a distance which was short enough that it didn't allow time for the energy to slip out of control.
How far this time?
Last time we did 30 feet. This time, let's make it 20.
Coach George repositioned himself carefully behind his student. While a shot of lightning certainly wasn't going to kill someone like George, that didn't mean it was something he hoped to experience. Especially not in his human form. Vince concentrated on the pile of rocks in front of him. He raised his hand carefully, his fingers tentatively outstretched. He imagined the electricity, bright blue and white hot, arcing from his palm to the rocks in a single brilliant beam. He held that vision firmly in his mind, drowning out the rest of the world. Nothing else existed. Vince let the energy fly. The lightning bolt struck 7 different spots. Though, to give appropriate credit, one of them was fairly close to the pile of rocks.
Fuck!
Chin up, Reynolds.
Coach George walked forward.
Believe it or not, this is progress.
Yeah, that means if I get really close, it probably won't splinter at all.
And that's a good thing. Listen, Reynolds, this kind of thing is a process with any power. First you get the idea of it, then you find its flaws and limits, and then you figure out how to sidestep as many as you can. It's something all heroes go through, and it could take a long-ass time. Hell, why do you think we put you all through 4 years of this before you're allowed to work in the field?
I just wish I had better control.
Coach George patted him on the shoulder.
That's the hardest part of all this. Throwing cars, bouncing off bullets, jumping between continents, all that shit is easy if you've got the gift. But knowing how to do it safely, and more importantly, knowing when to do it. Those are the real skills a hero needs to master.
I guess that means I won't be adding lightning to my arsenal anytime soon.
Well, maybe, maybe not. The best powers are versatile ones. If we find out you can't use electricity safely from more than 10 feet, then yeah, it probably won't be part of your ranged attacks. On the other hand, it could be a devastating attack to whip out in close combat. Even if it was down to a few inches, you could make it so that every punch you throw is an overpowered taser.
Vince thought back to his first fight with Michael. If his one punch had carried just a little extra juice, the whole thing might have turned out differently.
That might not be a bad idea.
I'm glad to hear an 18-year-old believes I can actually do my job. Now, go refuel.
Yes, sir.
Dean Blaine had been taking it a little easier on his students in the past few weeks, well aware that George and Persephone would be pushing them particularly hard. Given the rigorousness of their regular classes, it could be argued that the real challenge within the HCP was learning how to handle eye-gouging levels of stress.
Today, I wanted to talk about the HCP as a whole. We take people with extraordinary abilities and a desire to help, and we refine them into warriors of justice. Yet at the same time, we take others with equally amazing talents and cast them out, telling them that they are forbidden from getting involved when they see innocents in distress. The question I pose to you is why? Why do we insist so emphatically that the only person worthy of wearing the title of hero is someone who has been given this course's full education?
Everyone knows that. Insurance!
Miss Hawkins, if you're going to continue speaking out of turn, you could at least present a fully formed argument.
Okay! I mean, it's really obvious. People with abilities can cause a whole lot of collateral damage, especially when they're fighting someone else with powers. That means people filing insurance claims for their homes and businesses. The companies really hate paying out all that money, though. They'd make us quit getting into fights. But regular law enforcement isn't able to restrain people with powers. At least, not like we can. So, since they can't tell us not to stop supers who are killing and stealing, and they can't refuse to pay out every time one of us causes damage, the only other option is to demand that the people stopping them, the people we call heroes, have been properly trained to minimize collateral damage. That's why the training and certification started. It was so supers could do their job without being financially responsible for every flipped truck and melted mailbox.
Dean Blaine blinked in surprise, as did most of the class.
That was an excellently well-reasoned theory.
My dad's an insurance adjuster.
Ah, I see. In any case, Ms. Hawkins is correct. The HCP allows those with special talents to help people without being afraid of fiscal reprisal. That was the beginning, though, designed to suit a program far less expansive than our current HCP. Who else can tell me why we hold our defenders to such rigorous standards?
This time, several hands went up. Dean Blaine called on the fastest to get it out of the way.
Yes, Miss Adair.
Because we have to know more than just how to do the least damage to a city block. We need to know how to avoid, or at least limit, civilian casualties. We need to know how to deal with hostage situations, and how to cope with the political implications of chasing someone across international lines. Being a hero means people are trusting you with their lives. We need to be prepared to live up to that trust as much as possible.
Very good. However, as with insurance, these are things that are already widely known. I'm looking for things that you, as students, can appreciate that an outsider wouldn't understand the necessity of.
Most of the hands went down at this stipulation. Dean Blaine selected one of the few that stayed raised.
Mr. DeSoto.
We're learning humility. Most of us grew up feeling like we were untouchable. We aren't, and some people needed to experience that firsthand to believe it.
Now that is an excellent one. Few people not in the program would understand just how important losing is. Mr. Wells, what is another example?
We're learning what to really expect. Before this class, it had never occurred to me how many hard choices would come with being a hero. I thought of it as just blasting away at bad guys. Knowing what I do now, I'm a lot more cautious. I still want to do it, but I have a better idea of what I'm in for. If I'd had to face some tough situations in the field with no mental preparation, it could have gone really badly.
Quite true. The preparation of the mind is, in my opinion, one of the most unappreciated necessities we instill here at Lander. Mr. Campbell, do you have another point you'd like to add?
Nick's hand hadn't been up, but he rolled with the question anyway. Dean Blaine had made it clear long ago that he would call on whomever he damn well pleased.
The physical training. I mean, most people get that heroes need to be strong, but how many understand that they need to have stamina, flexibility, and pain endurance even when they're not a fighter? I think outsiders just picture all of us lifting buses and punching through walls.
A bit obvious, but valid. Now, for every student who graduates, there are tens to hundreds that tried for that spot. Putting aside obvious concerns about physical capability, why do we keep them out? Wouldn't it make more sense to allow everyone to help?
No.
Vince spoke up from his seat.
Because not everyone should be a hero.
Would you like to elaborate, Vince?
Being looked up to comes with a lot of respect, a lot of power. That's going to attract plenty of supers, not just the ones who want to help. It's not a bad idea to have some sort of filter before we just hand out a title and tell everyone that this is a person that they can trust.
You're quite right. Heroes are trusted by civilians and governments alike. we have to be very careful who we give such responsibilities to. And not just in case they have less than pure intentions. Who can tell me another danger of letting anyone through the HCP?
Because the worst case scenario is that someone starts as a genuine hero and then turns.
Chad's eyes stared down at his desk.
Go on.
A super who commits crimes is a pain for regular people to deal with, but heroes can handle most of them pretty easily. When a hero turns, they don't just bring their abilities to the table. They bring all the training they received in the HCP, all the combat experience they acquired on the job, all the secrets they know, and all the trust that other heroes have in them. When a hero turns, entire towns get destroyed and other heroes die.
There is a very unfortunate amount of truth in that statement. It is one of the key reasons we screen so thoroughly before admitting someone to the HCP. We seek to determine not only who they are, but also who they will become. It's a difficult task, and one we put tremendous effort and resources into. However, I'm sad to say that we are not always successful.
The class was haggard, tired, and worn. They looked like life had cornered them in a dark alley, wielding a sock full of quarters. Since the return from break, George and Persephone had kept their promise, treating each gym session as though it were their final chance to enact revenge on the students in their charge. The battles were brutal, the mental exercises exhausting, and there was constant drilling of historical strategies used by different heroes. As the students lined up at the end of class on Friday afternoon, they didn't fall into line so much as gradually limp there.
You all look like utter shit.
Coach George's eyes scanned his students.
And with only 3 weeks left until finals, I don't think most of you could take on a sack of kittens right now, let alone a trained warrior with superhuman abilities.
A mind is like a knife.
Coach Persephone took her turn to address the class.
It must be kept sharp, bright, and always at the ready. Look at you all. Half of you haven't even been able to hear this whole speech. That's how much your brains are glossing over.
Again, the coaches were met with a weathered, beaten silence.
It is for these reasons that things will be changing a bit. Coach Persephone and I feel we have taken you as far as you're capable of going in the time allotted to us. That isn't to say we couldn't whip your squishy asses into beasts if we had a decade to play with, but all we are given is a single school year. So rather than drive you into the ground in the time before your exam, we're taking a different approach.
As of Monday, you are all ordered to be on rest for 1 week.
There was a ripple through the students, certain that their feeble minds had snapped and full-blown delusions had set in.
The gym, the training rooms, and all the facilities will be completely off-limits to all of you for the next 7 days. Once that time has passed, you will spend the remaining 2 weeks undergoing a personalized training regimen. By that, we mean you will work out in the ways that you find most effective. This can occur during your scheduled gym time or whenever you have free time. We are legally obligated to remind you that staying in the HCP requires at least a C average grade. So remember to budget your time wisely between training and studying.
During these 2 weeks, Coach Persephone and I will be on hand should any of you wish to schedule time with us for personal training. That will be the limit of our involvement from now until your exam.
And one last piece of business. Many of you have noticed that there is a day between the last finals at Lander and your test here in the HCP. This day is meant for final preparations and recovery. However, it's tradition for the staff to put on a small festival for the students on the night testing ends. This year's event will be held here in the gym. There will be food, dancing, and games. We hope to see you all here.
Can you believe that just happened?
Nick and the rest of the Millbrook students made their way back to their dorm.
It makes sense if you think about it. We're supposed to be at our best for the exam. That's hard to do when we're getting pummeled every week.
No kidding. Even I'm starting to feel it. 3 more weeks and I think Chad would have been the only one still standing on test day.
Roy Daniels, did you just admit you think someone is stronger than you?
Only for now.
Yeah, well, anyway, this is a gift none of us expected. So, I say we celebrate. I'll go to the video store.
Not another bad movie night. Literally anything but that.
Literally? Okay then. How about a game of Strip Twister?
One day, some lucky girl is gonna castrate you, and I really hope I'm around to see it.
I'm with the chicks on this one. Even Herschel's tired of those movies.
You guys are nuts. My taste in cinema is the stuff of legends. Back me up here, Vince.
Yeah, whatever you guys want.
Vince's eyes shifted about.
I've got something to take care of real quick. I'll see you back at the dorm.
With that, Vince jogged off hastily, backpack bouncing against him as he dashed.
That was weird.
Let him be. He'll be back soon.
Whatever. Anyway, I say we start with Death Couch 2 and Death Couch 4, just to set the mood.
No!
There was a timid knock on George's door.
Come in, Reynolds.
Coach George did not glance up from his work as Vince stepped in slowly, working his way forward and coming to a stop in front of the desk.
How do you know it was me?
Because my superiors and colleagues don't knock, and you're the only student who hits the door like he's scared it'll hit back.
Oh, sorry, I guess.
Don't worry about it, kid. What can I do for you?
I wanted to schedule some one-on-one time to work on my electricity techniques.
I was afraid you were going to say that. Take a seat, Reynolds.
Vince complied and plopped down in the available chair.
We've been at this for months now, Vince. We both know that at a distance of more than a few inches, your electricity goes wild every time. Hell, half the time it doesn't even hit the intended target.
Yes, sir. That's why I'm here to schedule time, so I can get better.
And I applaud your spirit. That said, you've got 3 weeks until we put you through one of the hardest tests of your life. You're going to need to be in peak form. You think there might be a better way to spend your time?
I'm confused. Are you telling me to give up on using electricity?
Absolutely not. I've known supers who would kill for the level of versatility your power gives you. What I'm saying is that sometimes it's all about time management. You have 2 weeks of training time. What do you think will pay off more for your test? Struggling to invent a new way to use electricity, or mastering what you can already do with fire?
I guess that depends on if I succeed with the electricity or not.
It's 2 weeks, kid, not 2 months. Even if you do ignore the other parts of your training and manage to find a way to control the bolts, you're not going to have time to master it. Best case scenario, you walk out there with an uncontrolled technique that may or may not play out well.
I guess that makes sense. I still want to learn to control electricity, though.
I'm 100% behind you on that, kid. All I'm saying is, pick your battles. Playing with new stuff is for downtime. This is crunch time. Crunch time is for focusing on what you've got.
Yes, sir. I think I'll do that.
Vince stood from the chair.
Thanks for your time. And for your advice.
Well, that's why they pay me the big bucks. And for what it's worth, kid, I hope to see you back here next year.
Thanks, Coach. Huh?
A manila envelope fell out of Michael Clark's locker as he pulled the door open. He had just finished doing a few hours of extra training before the ban went into effect, and he was grabbing his clothes to change back. He reached down and scooped up the envelope, noticing that it seemed to be relatively thick.
What the hell?
He glanced around. If someone had slipped an envelope into his locker, it wasn't likely they'd stick around to be seen. The only clue to the envelope's origins was the envelope itself. Michael carefully undid the metal clasp and pulled out the first few pages. Some were newspaper clippings, some were police reports, and others were just random photographs. There didn't seem to be any connection between them, not one that Michael could discern anyway. Michael was about to toss the envelope back into his locker when something in one of the photographs caught his eye.
What?
Hurriedly, he threw his street clothes on and tucked the envelope carefully into his gym bag.
I've got work to do.
It's official. We never let Nick pick another movie. All in favor?
Aye.
You guys just don't appreciate good cinematography.
Go ahead. Explain to me the cinematographic brilliance of Blood Fountain 3, The Bloodening.
For starters, there was the way the blood splatters always caught the light in just the right way to maximize the gore.
In response, Nick was struck in the face by a pillow, hurled from across the room by Alice. He turned his head and glared in response, only to be met by an innocent smile. Nick snatched the pillow from the ground, reared back, and let fly at his blonde target. The pillow stopped in midair, floating slowly into Mary's lap. She was nestled on the couch with Herschel, and while his arm wasn't wrapped around her, they sat much closer than usual.
No pillow fighting in the living room. That's how things get broken.
Fine, Mom.
If anyone in this dorm had the power to play the mom, it'd definitely be Mary.
I don't think that's true.
Mary was about to argue when she noticed that everyone in the room was nodding in agreement.
It's a good thing. It just means you're the only one who can put everyone in their place. Also, I mean, you are kind of the mom.
How am I the mom?
You stop us from throwing pillows in the house.
You make us all get salads at dinner.
You make sure everyone does their homework each night.
You once told me that if you could have a car, it would be a minivan?
Oh, don't you start.
Sorry.
An unapologetic smile grew on Herschel's face.
Oh!
Jill sat up excitedly.
I've got one. You always have Kleenex tissues with you.
Okay, I get it. I'm the mom. You got me. Yeesh. Part of me is glad I've got only 3 more weeks of you people.
3 weeks to cram with as much vintage cinema as possible.
This time, Nick ducked the pillow Alice chucked at him. He was not so lucky, however, with the one thrown by Mary.
I thought you said no pillow throwing.
Nick dislodged the pillow from his chest.
Who's your mommy now?
Nick reared back to return fire, but Vince leaned forward and deftly plucked the projectile from his hand.
Fine. I'll be the mom. No throwing pillows indoors. Besides, you know she'll just catch it halfway there and send it back at you.
True. You combat types in your violence.
Nah, she's just planning on using her next 3 weeks to train instead of watching movies. Funny how much that can add to a person's skill level.
3 weeks? You gotta be kidding me. I mean, at this point, if you don't have it yet, you don't have it. And you should just give it up already.
Have any of you guys thought about that?
Alex spoke up tentatively.
Thought about the test? Sure. I've been worried and Roy's been excited ever since they announced it.
No, I mean, have you thought about what happens if you fail the test? About what it would be like to not come back next year?
Oh, I mean, a little bit. To be honest, I haven't worried about it a whole lot. Roy's gotten a lot better this year, especially since he started sparring with Chad. I don't think he's going to be top of class, but I'm pretty sure we won't get sent home.
I might. I mean, I'm pretty good at the puzzle and strategy exercises, but I haven't found any new ways to use my power. I just fly, and I'm not sure if that's going to cut it.
Flying is a pretty useful ability. The first rule in every battle is to capture the high ground.
Useful? Sure, I'll agree with that, but we're talking about becoming a hero.
By that logic, several of us are at risk.
Will chimed in.
My talents are most suitable in a support role, rather than a primary one. Your power is somewhat limited in its applications. Alex is little more than a weaker form of Mary, and Nick's power is nebulous and ill-defined at its best.
Wow. Way to cheer everyone up.
Jill looked around at the downcast faces throughout the room.
I wasn't finished yet. My point is that failure is a constant possibility for us. We can't alter the abilities we were given, so the only thing within our control is to press forward. We must train relentlessly, fight unyieldingly, and refuse to surrender in spite of the odds. These are qualities needed not just to make it through another year at the HCP, but qualities we must absolutely have if we truly wish to be heroes.
That was surprisingly eloquent.
I have my moments.
Much as I agree with Will, I feel obligated to point out that we've been banned from training for the next week. So I think it's our responsibility as both students and as potential dropouts to try and enjoy ourselves a bit. You know, just in case.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I agree with Nick.
It only burns the first time.
Vince glanced at Sasha, who gave a shrug and kissed him on the cheek.
I guess we're in for whatever.
The others nodded in agreement.
Awesome. Now, to start us off right, the Multiplex downtown is doing a blood and gore marathon tomorrow night.
It was at this point that Nick was forced to vault behind the couch to escape the spontaneous, coordinated barrage of pillows directed at his body. Alice leaned back in her chair.
I'm sick of this. What asshole created calculus in the first place?
Mary glanced up from her own pile of books.
I think Isaac Newton.
The gravity guy? No wonder the apple took a swing at him.
That's actually just a story.
Mary's eyes went back to her work.
Like Einstein failing math as a kid. I think they tell those stories to make geniuses seem more human.
After a week of reading this crap, people who can understand calculus seem less human to me than a coffee maker.
Alice stretched her back with a series of pops and settled back down to her own tasks. The duo was sitting in the above-ground library, the one for all Lander students, along with several hundred of their peers. With finals pressing down on them, most of the Lander students were hitting the books, and every table in the place was occupied. Alice and Mary had set up shop earlier in the day, staking out a good spot and leaving only in shifts, while the remaining girl gave death stares to anyone approaching the empty chair. They'd been working together as finals drew closer, keeping each other accountable. It was tempting to slack off, but with the other always at hand to give guilt eyes, they'd managed to stay on track so far.
Shouldn't we be devoting more time to training?
You think it'll make a difference?
Honestly, no, not really. I think I'll just need to warm up for a few days before. I don't see me getting much better than where I'm at.
Same. Think a few more hours figuring out this math will help?
Probably.
Then get back to it. Only 2 more hours and we can break for dinner.
That'll be nice.
Yeah. Plus, we can use flashcards to test each other while we eat.
The thump of Alice's head slamming into her books was loud enough to draw the attention of students from nearby tables. To the untrained eye, it would look like Nick was watching television in the middle of the afternoon when he should have been studying. A trained eye might notice the depression on the couch and the lines on his face that indicated he had been there all day. Nick switched the channel. He'd have to go out with Bubbles tonight. She was proving to be too excellent an excuse to let go of anytime soon. But for now, he was relaxing. He'd browsed through his class materials on the first day off and decided he had an A to C understanding of everything he would be tested on. That meant he was free to use his study time watching television instead. It would have been a terrible strategy to employ if he'd actually been watching. The problem with both the trained and untrained eye is that they wouldn't see the gears turning rapidly in Nick's brain. They wouldn't know that he was going back through his entire year, day by day, interaction by interaction, and scanning each minute for information about the people he'd been fighting. No sets of eyes, regardless of training, could discern that the boy lounging lazily was, in fact, readying himself for his upcoming trials by searching out every physical and emotional weak point he could find in his opponents. Roy caught the fist aimed at his head and twisted it to the right. He jerked Stella by the shoulder and sent her body sprawling to the floor. He turned to intercept the next attacker and received a kick in the ribs from a highly dense foot. Roy doubled over, trying to catch his breath.
Gotta be quicker than that.
Violet stepped back so he could recover.
Here I thought chicks dug lasting power.
Real women want longevity and speed.
Violet flashed him a grin.
Speaking of, how are you holding up, Stella?
Arm is sore. No worries, though. I'll get him back.
Good, because in 20 minutes, it's your turn.
Fuck yes!
Stella stretched her limbs as she finished standing. The three of them had been training like this for a few days, doing one-on-one fights at first, then progressing to 2-against-1. They all subscribed to the same mentality. The only way to prep for a fight is to fight a lot.
That's enough talk.
Roy reared up to his full height.
I still got 20 minutes left, and I want to see just how well you two can double team a man.
I swear, it's like he wants us to aim for his balls.
Violet took a fighting stance and braced herself.
Well, let's be honest. When they're as big as mine, it's hard not to hit them.
Stella and Violet exchanged glances. After several days of Roy's banter, they were getting used to his thinly veiled attempts to rile them up. They were also very much beginning to enjoy when it was his turn to get attacked. Shane knocked on Michael's door again. He and Chad had been waiting patiently for a few minutes.
Still no answer.
I'm aware.
That's weird though, right? Michael has his crap, but the guy never flakes on training.
Chad shrugged with a casual apathy that Shane had grown accustomed to.
Pressure makes some people better, and it makes some people break. Maybe he couldn't take it.
I guess. That just doesn't seem like him.
Yes, because Michael has shown such excellent coping mechanisms throughout the year.
Never this bad, though.
That's why it's called escalation. Look, he isn't picking up his phone, and I can hear through the walls that he isn't in there. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt and assume he's off doing some training on his own. In the meantime, you and I only have a few days left.
Shane started to knock again, then paused. Michael had only shown up for 3 days of training in the last 2 weeks, and he'd been distracted each time.
He's my friend, but whatever's going on, it's obvious he doesn't want to share.
He pulled his hand back down and away from the door.
Okay, we'll try again tomorrow.
Vince released a blast of heat into the concrete wall, creating a focused pillar of flame. In the corner of the training room was an ever-growing pile of Sterno cans. He'd been training for most of his 2 weeks, stopping only for study, tests, and food. Vince had worked hard with his heat, trying new blast patterns and range techniques. He'd focused on close combat as well, driving up the temperature around him to near intolerable levels for any human who got too close. His body was sore, but he couldn't remember a time he felt better. He extinguished the bolt of flame and cupped his hands. A fireball formed between his palms, swirling about until he threw his arms forward. The fireball launched into the wall, leaving fresh scorch marks on its path. Vince paused to pick up a water bottle at his feet and took a deep drink. Tomorrow was his day off. The day after that was the exam. He still didn't feel ready, but he knew he never would. In the meantime, Vince still had a few hours before dinner with Sasha. The air around him rippled as the temperature turned up. The water bottle at his feet began to melt into the gray stone floor.
Yeah, you got this.